better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
In a new bombshell overnight, the New York Times reporting some on special counsel Robert Mueller's team say his report was more damaging than Attorney General Bill Barr revealed in his four-page summary.
This is how the evidence against Mr. Trump was characterized in all of these reports, which, by the way, are all based on anonymous sources. How nervous are you that we're basing all of this on anonymous or people that don't want to go on the record? We're all flying a little blind here.
Live from the Matthews Brothers studios.
Trump said Biden is a threat to himself.
I had permission to hug Lonnie.
Threat to himself.
By the way, he gave me permission to touch him.
Threat to himself.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
We've gotten so damn sophisticated. We've gotten so damn elitist, just like I hope you guys understand.
He's got a private jet, you know? Okay, bye-bye then.
Unchained and unstoppable.
All of us recognize that we have a long way to go to end the institutional racism which permeates almost every aspect of American society.
Just last year, the Republicans in North Carolina's 9th congressional district threw enough votes in the trash to rig an election. Massive voter suppression prevented Stacey Abrams from becoming the rightful governor of Georgia.
Who do you love? Howie Carr.
I'm proud to be a bartender. Ain't nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with working retail, folding clothes for other people to buy.
I don't feel no ways tired.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Welcome to the Howie Carr Show. If you'd like to join us, toll-free number is 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. I might call this the pandering edition of the Howie Carr Show, because there's a lot of pandering going on today in Democrat politics. And they're the Democratic presidential candidates are pandering to Al Sharpton, believe it or not, the original Jussie Smollett, the original income tax evader, the guy who has railed against white interlopers on 125th Street, against Greek homos, that's his word, Greek homos, and diamond merchants in Crown Heights, meaning Hasidic Jews. And they're going to his conference and kissing his ring, which, as I said yesterday, is in his back pocket. And there's so much more going on here, but we'll go through it. And the pandering is not just to Al Sharpton and his crew of steam control merchants, as Tom Wolf called it in the Bonfire of the Vanities. It's also Joe Biden pandering to the working class, and AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, pandering to the working class as well, pretending to be working class heroes. As to use the old John Lennon song. First of all, though, we just had a guest on. If you want to get the estate planning nightmares brochure, they have from the Goodman Advisory Group, no obligations, no strings attached. You can call 800-267-6500. That's their number, 800-267-6500. We'll tweet it out, too, just so you'll have it. If you want to get estate planning nightmares, the latest report from Goodman Advisory Group. So there's a lot of stuff going on here, and some of this stuff is just that's been happening is just totally crazy. That, for instance, just to take one example, at LSU, Louisiana State University in Baton Rouge, Turning Point USA, you know, Charlie Kirk and Candace Owens, they were there, and they were you know, doing a conservative event. And we don't have any sound here because it's the sound is there, but it's not very good. But they're conservatives, and Candace Owens is black. You may have seen her on TV. She's on a lot now. And so a white protester jumps up on stage. This was, I guess, Wednesday night, and she starts screaming "Death to white nationalism." And again, there's two people, there's two, she's screaming this at two people on the stage. One is a white guy, Charlie Kirk, and the other one is a black woman. And she's chanting death to white nationalism. And so Candace Owens, the black woman, says to this nut, and she, I guess she's from some kind of a pro-Palestinian group. She doesn't look too Palestinian. You know, she's just she's a member of Students for Justice in Palestine. She also looks like she's pretty damn old student to me, but hey, what do I know? So she keeps heckling Owens and Kirk. And so finally Owens says, "We would like to have a conversation with you. You are racist." So the white protester who's heckling the black woman tells the black woman that you are a racist. Does any of this make any sense? Then the protester, according to a witness, went on to talk about how black and brown people aren't able to live a life with white people. Well, I guess, here's one thing we can be sure of. Candace Owens, who's black, can't deliver her talk because she's being heckled by a white person who's calling her a racist. So then the cops finally came, the campus cops, to take her away. "I do not consent to being touched," she said before the officers forced her arms down and walked her out of the auditorium. "You're bleeping racist." Okay, so that's one.
I don't consent to being touched. Who does she think she's talking to, Joe Biden?
Yeah, Joe Biden. Yeah, you remember Rachel Dolezal? The white woman who claimed to be black. She was the head of the NAACP's Spokane chapter in Washington State. And then she kept claiming to be black, and everybody looked at her and said, "Hey, what is she, Sean King's sister? She looks pretty white to me." She's got blonde hair and very light green eyes. So 4 years ago, her parents finally stepped forward and said, "No, she's white. Here's a baby picture of her. She's
not just white, she's ginger."
Yeah, she looks like Casper the Friendly Ghost. So she was arrested a couple of years ago, last year, I guess, on charges of welfare fraud, perjury in the second degree, and false verification for public assistance. She collected close to $9,000 in welfare between 2015 and November of 2017, despite making more than $80,000. She was writing books, I guess, Ginger Like Me or something like that. She wrote a book. I don't know what the name of her book was, but she wrote a book. It's In Full Color. You sure it wasn't? Maybe it should have been entitled In Monochrome. Is what tipped off investigators that she had been cashing in on the book sales, speaking engagements, and other sales. So she finally settled up her case. She got a worse deal than Jussie Smollett, because she's going to have to make restitution, and she's going to have to do some community service. And I don't think she's going to get to work for Jesse Jackson for 16 hours. She's going to have to do more than that. But I mentioned, 120 hours of community service. That's what they confirmed yesterday. But the reason I mentioned this is because this white woman, she is so desperate to become a black woman that she has changed her name. She's taken an African name, Nkechi Diallo. That's her new name. Her new name is Nkechi Diallo. Remember Diallo? Diallo was I think it was an illegal alien who was shot by the police in New York City. He had he had like a pen knife or a pen, and he was crouching in a stairwell or on a stoop of a tenement, and the cops thought he was drawing a weapon, and they shot him like 20 times and killed him. So she's taken Diallo's name. Nkechi Diallo.
I think I'm going to need the texters to help us come up with your Africanized name.
I don't think I need an Africanized. I didn't mind becoming Gerardo Carrardo for one afternoon, you know, when we were going Hispanic. But I'm not. I like vowels.
The texters know what to do.
Yeah. Okay. So now I have another story here from. I'm just talking about the racial craziness in the country today. There's a story in the LA Times. Certain ethnic groups are complaining about their classification as white. Wait a second.
I'm confused.
Don't they want white privilege? I thought white privilege trumped everything, so to speak. Of course, Elizabeth Warren, she wasn't getting much out of white privilege. Once she renounced her white privilege, she suddenly had two tenured positions at Ivy League law schools. Arab and Persian residents in the United States, Iranians, Persians, Iranians, one man's meat is another man's Persian, as the old joke goes. They told the LA Times that while they plan to participate in the census next year, they fear that they will be lumped in with the racial category of white Americans. They fear that they are going to be listed as white people. The vast majority have always called themselves white in previous census surveys, which is interesting because until they invented the Hispanic category in 1970, Hispanics, so-called, were always white, too. So we're slowly slicing down the white population. I mean, they're the same, but it's just that only a certain number of people with white privilege are going to have the privilege of being discriminated against. So now Arabs and Persians want to drop out of the white race, which is kind of funny, especially for Iran, because Iran is kind of close to the Caucasus, I don't know how you pronounce it, the Caucasian. It's where Caucasians come from. Persians are definitely white. So are Arabs, for that matter. But anyway, advocates for these groups that are trying to secede from the Caucasian race.
Secede.
What else do you want to call it?
I think that's the perfect term.
The Hispanics
declare their independence.
The Hispanics have done extremely well by seceding from the white race, haven't they? They're now covered under affirmative action. I
mean, has anybody done worse leaving the white race?
Advocates argue the white label could hurt universities and companies that use the information to promote diversity. In other words, no, it's gonna make it easier for them to get jobs and positions in the universities and with the companies because of the diversity. They quote some woman named Sarah Shabar, grew up in Santa Barbara. In school, she was counted among the white students. None of these forms are allowing me to feel proud of what I am because I'm just white, according to them. You remember the movie, the old movie in the 50s or the 60s, the guy dressed up, he put blackface on and went in through the South, and they made a movie about it. It's kind of a stupid movie, but it was a big book. It was a bestseller, Black Like Me. Is there going to be a new movie now, White Like Me? But this is another thing. So, okay, I could do the whole hour just on the all these stories and the sound cuts, which we'll play some more sound cuts. But how about the mayor of South Bend, the gay guy, Buttigieg, or I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Buttigieg.
He went to Al Sharpton's conference yesterday, and back in 2015, he said, when he was mayor, he said, we need to take these things seriously for the simple and profound reason that all lives matter. So now he is being castigated for saying all lives matter because you're only supposed to say Black Lives Matter. And this isn't the first time this has happened, because remember a few years ago when the whole Ferguson myth about hands up, don't shoot was going down. There was they were having a bunch of buses leave Smith College, the all-girls school in Western Massachusetts. And they were going down to Washington for a hands up, don't shoot myth march in D.C. And I think it was the president of Smith College said, well, you know, it's good. Black lives matter and all lives matter. And then like the mayor of South Bend, she had to issue a groveling apology because you're not supposed to say all lives matter. You're just supposed to say Black Lives Matter. 844-500 4242. I'm Howie Carr.
He's the guru of graft. It's Howie Carr.
This is Paul, the UPS guy from Lowell.
Hi, this is Kate from Chelmsford.
Hi, this is Peter from Quahog, Rhode Island, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. When you have a good security system like SimpliSafe, things just feel different. They have some of the fastest response times in the industry. Plus, there are no contracts and no hidden fees. Get free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee at SimpliSafeHowie.com, SimpliSafeHowie.com. Steve, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Should Florida authorities release the alleged Bob Kraft sex tape to the Boston Globe?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, 89% say no. I'm not really sure what the value for the Boston Globe is of getting that video. Like, does John Henry think that if he shows enough people that video, somehow he'll become as magical and beloved as Bob Kraft?
Right. Yeah. They better worry about the starting pitching on the Red Sox if they want to if he wants to overtake Bob Kraft as a beloved figure in the New England sports pantheon.
I hear Gronk's available.
All right, 844-500-4242. You know, this pandering that's going on, though, is just it's just typical of the modern Democrat Party. And we put some of it in the intro, but we should probably put a little more in before we take some calls. Well, we'll take some calls, and then we'll play AOC doing her Hillary Clinton black dialect. It's amazing. I mean, again, AOC, 50 years ago, she would have been considered white. Now she considers herself a person of color. But, I mean, if you go to a black conference and you're not black and you affect a black dialect, isn't that offensive? Even if you claim to be a person of color?
I think we need to call it black tongue.
Right. Well, you know, yeah, I mean, the governor of Virginia, the attorney general of Virginia, they got into trouble for wearing blackface. The majority leader of the Virginia State Senate, he almost had to resign because he's a Republican for wearing blackface. The Democrats could get away with it. But isn't it offensive for someone who's not black to speak in a black dialect? Albert, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Albert.
Hey, hi, Howie. This is Albert. I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Hey, I was thinking about Joe Biden. Wasn't it back in the 80s or 90s the liberals all were talking about, there was a lot of bumper stickers I saw about arms are for hugs or have you hugged a thug today? That kind of a thing.
No, it was about hugging kids, wasn't it? And that's what he kept saying, though. He kept saying that, well, when he came up on stage, cut number eight. This is Lonnie Stevenson. He's talking about this guy named Lonnie Stevenson. He's the president of the IBW, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. Cut eight.
I want you to know, I had permission to hug Lonnie. We had permission.
Could a Republican get away with that joke? But he brings some kids up on the stage and he does the same thing. Cut number nine.
I don't want you to have to stand all alone, but it's up to, by the way, he gave me permission to touch him. All right.
What kind of audience does he have there? They're laughing at the kid touching jokes. They're laughing at the sexual harassment jokes.
But they're, you know, here's the thing. But so Trump yesterday puts out that funny retweets that funny tweet of well, we'll get to that when we come back. So much stuff to get to today. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
There was a book that came out more than 20 years ago. It was called How the Irish Became White. And it wasn't very complimentary of Irish people when you got right down to it. But I'm thinking of doing a sequel to that. And it's going to be how the Irish didn't become white, or how the Irish gave up their whiteness. Just like the Iranians, just like the Arabs. You know, speaking as someone who's half Irish, I don't wish to be white anymore. I wish to become a new racial classification like Hispanic or West Asian or something like that.
Well, if that's the case, can I get your remaining white privilege?
You can.
Put it in a doggy bag for me?
You could put it in a thimble. All the white privilege I've ever had, as far as I can tell, would fit into a thimble with a lot of room left over. Which is why the Arabs and the Persians told the LA Times they don't want to be white anymore. And the best thing that Richard Nixon ever did for the Hispanics was to give a new racial classification.
When I was applying to college, I didn't check off anything. I said other.
Look at Nikiki Diallo. I mean, look, she's benefiting from being from no longer being white. That's why she changed her name. Right? All right. So we're here with Grace, and she's got Grace's news.
Happy Friday, everyone. What a busy news day. This conference by Al Sharpton.
Yes.
Is bringing out all of the 2020 contenders. Everybody who's anybody was there. The only one I didn't see was Kirsten Gillibrand. And that's probably because she's so brave. She's probably in New Hampshire or Iowa.
She's in New York. She's in New York. She's from New York. She I think she understands that, you know, how radioactive Al Sharpton is, probably more than the others, though.
Isn't it like a prisoner's dilemma, though, where they'd all like to tell Al Sharpton to screw, but they can't be the one person who doesn't go and pander?
He is a titan in the steam control industry.
Is he still, though? Do you think Sharpton swings a lot of the black vote?
How did he get
everyone to go?
The MSNBC gig.
Well, that was clearly a Comcast situation. But I'm saying, like, if when Al Sharpton says go vote for Mr. X, do black people say, well, Al's got a point. He's never let us down in the past.
I know. I don't know, Steve. That is a good question. I don't know, but he definitely still has a hold on the Democrats, the candidates, because they all showed up and they all gave speeches. And Bernie said,
"So you're the gay mayor of South Bend, and this is you're going to the conference sponsored by a guy who has referred publicly to Greek homos."
Should we go through Al Sharpton's list?
You better watch your microaggressions, bro.
I'll contribute.
Why don't we play the cut of the gay mayor groveling to the guy who referred to the Greek
He's also a Navy veteran, but if we want to just say gay mayor, we could do that too.
Well, but what I'm saying is, as far as I know, Al Sharpton has never slurred people who were in the Navy. He's never slurred sailors. He has slurred gay people. Has he not?
Cut 16.
At that time, I was talking about a lot of issues around racial reconciliation in our community. What I did not understand at that time was that that phrase, just early into mid, especially 2015, was coming to be viewed as a sort of counter-slogan to Black Lives Matter. And so this statement that seems very anodyne and something that's kind of nobody could be against actually wound up being used to devalue what the Black Lives Matter movement was telling us, which is what we needed to hear, because unfortunately it was not obvious to everybody that black lives were being valued the same. And so that is the contribution of Black Lives Matter.
You know, Howie, you know this about me. I'm an apologizer. If I think I did something wrong, I say I'm sorry. It makes me feel better. It clears my conscience. I don't think it's the best tactic when you're running for president to start apologizing for such minute things, because it kind of snowballs. If you apologize about, for instance, Beto apologized for saying, oh, my wife raises the kids and I do partially a joke. Once you start apologizing for that stuff, it's a slippery
slope. That's what Trump, that's why Trump always tells everybody. He's told me, you know, years ago when I was doing the, oh, la, 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 and I never, he said, never apologize.
As if you were going to.
Right? As if I would. But he makes
that
point.
He didn't know who he was messing with.
He told Joe Biden this week. You know, he said he told Joe Biden at one of these press availabilities, don't apologize. And you know what his theory is? I think I've told you this on the air. He says, remember Jimmy the Greek? You know, the guy who talked about blacks couldn't swim. He was a color announcer on CBS. And he said that. And so they came after him and said, you know, he was an Al Sharpton in whiteface. And he apologized. And then that was the end of Jimmy the Greek. But why don't we play the Bernie Sanders cut, because Bernie Sanders is Jewish.
Yes.
And Al Sharpton has referred to the diamond merchants.
Right.
In Brooklyn, in Crown Heights.
So we can.
And he started a riot, and a guy named, I think his name was Yankel Rosenbaum, actually a Jewish guy, actually got killed in the riots. And then he also started talking about the white property owners up in Harlem on 125th Street. He called them white interlopers. And some guy who was listening to him on the radio went crazy and bombed out this a place called Freddy's Fashion Mart and killed five or six people, none of whom were Jewish, by the way. They were all Hispanic or black. So again, he has a history of anti-Semitic statements.
Yeah.
And he hangs out or did used to hang out with Jesse Jackson, who referred to New York as Jaime Town. And yet Bernie Sanders comes to this conference and grovels.
Steve, you can either play cut two or three.
So we have made some progress, but clearly all of us recognize that we have a long way to go to end the institutional racism which permeates almost every aspect of American society. And that is the bad news that keeps us up at night.
God, they're all so depressing. It's like, oh, America is racist. America is bad. You should be in Canada.
Does Bernie understand the irony of going to this guy, a guy who has made it clear that he despises his ethnic group, and he's apologizing for being a white man?
Don't you think that they're making a serious misstep when they all go for reparations, though? Like, imagine they get their way and they get a reparations bill passed. How do you think Hispanic America is going to feel about that?
Well, it's just so complicated because not everyone's ancestors were slaves and not everybody's ancestors owned slaves. So then you get into the whole thing of what is everyone going to take DNA tests?
Yeah.
And then, you know, who gets money? Who pays the money? It just gets very
When I talk about steam controls, people are asking, what do you mean by steam control? It's in this novel, Bonfire of the Vanities, by Tom Wolfe, who just died last year. It's a great book. And there's an Al Sharpton guy in there, the Reverend Bacon, they call him. And at one point, Reverend Bacon is talking to one of the white characters. He says, you know what business I'm in? I'm in the steam control business. You know, you put a pot on the stove and you turn up the heat. And the steam starts building up. The steam starts building up, and pretty soon it's building up. It's going to explode, and there's going to be water everywhere, and the top of the is going to be blown off. You need somebody who can take off the top and let the steam go off. And that's what I am in. I, Reverend Bacon, am in the steam control industry, and of course he's very well paid. He gets a night, you know. Well, Al Sharpton got a nightly show on MSNBC. Jesse Jackson was in the steam control business. His son got an Anheuser-Busch distributorship in Chicago.
So in this analogy, black populist anger at a given company or agency is the steam.
Yeah.
And you want to kind of keep it up and going.
No, you want to prevent it from being directed at your company.
But if you own the company like Comcast, and you're trying to buy NBC, you go to Al Sharpton and you say, I need you to handle the steam control. I need you to say, we, it's not a big deal for Brian Roberts and Comcast to buy NBC and consolidate all this media in one person's hands. So Al Sharpton handled steam control for Brian Roberts and Comcast.
Interesting. I'm going to say, out of the whole thing that happened, and I know we've played this, but I think it has to be played again. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez really went above and beyond what we all expected when she did put on, as Steve liked to call it, black tongue.
And that's
going to catch
that.
On. People that's like, gonna
it.
Be
people
a thing.
Like it, Steve. People really tongue. Like it. So I think we'll play that on the other side.
Like if Howie went on a rant right now speaking in a black dialect and someone from Media Matters caught wind of that, they would vilify you as the biggest racist ever. But when AOC does it, they're like, oh, she's down with the struggle.
Absolutely.
And there was people, there was hype men in the crowd going, yes.
Yeah.
Say it, girl.
She's like a combination Hillary Clinton / Southern Baptist minister.
I'm wondering, do
and
you
she's
think-
also Joe Biden, too, because she's talking about being a bar. You know, she's making it out like I'm proud to be a bartender, like there's, you know, there's people out there, outside on the street saying bartenders are bad. You know,
down here in Washington, they call me middle class AOC.
Yeah,
I'm not ashamed of that.
They call me margarita because I make a boss margarita and I put the salt right around the rim.
Ooh, I want a margarita now.
844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Keep it here, chumps. More Howie Carr after this.
Check out Howie's trending stories at HowieCarshow.com. Brought to you by Orion Metals. That's HowieCarshow.com.
a bartender. Ain't nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with working retail, folding clothes for other people to buy. There is nothing wrong with preparing the food that your neighbors will eat. There is nothing wrong with driving the buses that take your family to work. There is nothing wrong with being a working person in the United States of America.
There's nothing wrong with preparing the food that other people eat.
There's nothing wrong with loving your children. There's nothing wrong with having puppy dogs.
Driving a Chevrolet. Well, driving. No, that's bad. Driving a Chevrolet. I forgot about that. No, you got to buy a donkey.
And what if you're preparing for your neighbors a big cheeseburger?
Well, it's no, you got to get one of those new meatless Whoppers that they're going to be selling at Burger King. That's what you got to get.
It is an interesting tactic, though, that you don't think that, first of all, everyone there is going to see right through that. And second of all, that it's not going to go viral and we're all going to see it.
Who thinks that's I know, it kind of worked for Hillary Clinton, although it certainly made her a laughing stock on, talk radio and the conservative cable channels like we're on. But who thinks that's a good idea? I'm going to speak to some black guys, a conference of black people today. So you know what? I'm gonna put on a black dialect.
Right.
Who thinks that's a good idea?
And also,
other than her and Hillary.
And also, she talks about there's nothing wrong with being working people. She was the one whose Green New Deal was going to pay people who didn't have a desire to work.
Right.
And now all of a sudden we're supposed to believe that
she's going to put out all the people out of business who work at, say, Boeing, making planes.
Right.
All the people who work at nuclear power plants, all the people who work in the fossil fuel oil refineries.
It's okay.
Fracking, coal mines. They're all going to be out of business. Those industries, they're not good. Retail, bartending, driving buses.
Two words. Light rail.
Light rail.
That's going to fix all our problems.
Breaking story on Drudge, Grace. Jill Biden has got a book coming out on May 7th. I guess this is another indication he's running. It's called Where the Light Enters Building a Family, Discovering Myself.
Wait, what?
Where light, I should have put a colon
where
in there.
Where light enters building?
Where the light enters, colon, building a family, discovering myself.
Wait, what kind of, I didn't know she was a proctologist.
I don't know. She admits that Creepy Joe and his very handsy family, I guess they all, well, we know Hunter's pretty handsy. He's a hands-on son, made her feel strange and uncomfortable. That's her quote, strange and uncomfortable when they first started dating.
I would just like to throw in my two cents about Joe Biden. I mean, it's very, very early to be making these jokes. And it's one thing to make the joke about the woman. Oh, she gave me permission to touch her. But about the children? This is like very inappropriate. And I don't understand. And Essie Cupp actually said this today, and I don't normally quote Essie Cupp. She said, I don't know how you can expect us all to believe that you fully understand how your actions are inappropriate if you're joking about them less than 24 hours later.
Grace, you're giving him this grief. He spent his whole life busting his neck.
Busting his neck.
But don't you think
busting is not his hump, his neck.
Don't
he's
you
been
think
busting his neck for the working people of this country.
He learned from Northam, though. Northam went out and he was kind of joking around about the moonwalk at his press conference. So he knows. I'll just crack a joke or two about this and the media with ADHD will move on in a week.
By the way, just to tell you, Howie, the busting the neck comment was very hard to find. You want to know why?
Why?
You Google Biden busting neck and you get about 1,000 articles about Biden sticking his face in women's necks and sniffing. It was one of the hardest cuts I've ever had to find. This segment is brought to you by a very special sponsor we have because we care so much about your canine's health. Howie has a pug who he loves so much.
Gooner.
And Gooner takes this supplement. It's dogthrive8.com. Go to dogthrive. That's the number 8.com. If you care about your dogs, like we care about Howie's dog. I don't have a dog, but I care about Howie's
dog.
So
do you put the dogthrive 8 on the Kowloon chicken fingers?
I'm trying to reduce his intake of Kowloon chicken fingers. I got a butcher box delivery coming tomorrow.
He's barbaric. Gonna...
That dog needs all the dogthrive 8 he can get.
Yes. Let's play Joe Biden thanking the way. Speaking, since this hour has been devoted to pandering,
Yes.
We have to we have to have Joe Biden. This is Joe Biden pandering to some of those waiters and bartenders that AOC also likes to talk down to. Cut 23.
You guys are like me. I never walk away from a table without thanking the waiter. That's how I was raised.
Not me.
You know what? Can I tell you something? Diddle class Joe, creepy Joe. You don't have to thank the waiter. Just play a little whip out, leave him a tip.
Please don't tell Joe Biden to play a little whip out.
That's a dangerous game. Actually, just don't say play whip out anymore.
Yeah, that would be a good
one. It's taken on a totally different meaning these days, Howie.
And by the way, who doesn't thank their waiters? Besides maybe a French queen?
You just scowl at them on your way out.
Yeah, what do they think? We spit on the change?
Get a real job, you dirty working class person.
Get out of here. Bring me my food.
I want to hear busting the necks too, because people didn't hear that. This is some stuff. You're not going to hear this on the alt-left media tonight. This, you know, where I come from, people bust their humps. But see, I don't come out of the coal mines.
Right. I was
going to
say.
Like Joe Biden does. Maybe this is the colloquialism in the Welch coal mines.
But protect this nation from foreign adversaries and the way they use cyberspace and the rest to go after us. I see people have busted their necks their whole lives.
Ooh, ow. Busted their necks their whole lives.
Hey, look, come on. Help me move out of my apartment. I want you to bust your neck on this one, all right?
You know what he kept saying, too? Because I did have to watch a good amount of the speech. He kept going like this. I mean it. It's like, okay, why are you yelling at us, bro? We're here. We obviously like you. You just sniffed everyone's neck in the room.
Are we gonna get a Joe Biden impersonation out of you, Grace?
I was watching him closely today. Hopefully he won't run and then I won't have to do an impersonation.
You could hang out over Howie's shoulder and
sniff him. I think it's going to be a huge Halloween costume this year. I think guys are going to show up to the party and they're going to say, what are you supposed to be? And they're going to walk
six.
Up.
Cut six. As we...
I don't want you to have to stand. I'm sorry to take so long, guys, but everybody knows I like kids better than people. But look.
Yeah, we know.
I like kids better than people.
Thank you, Father Biden.
What do you consider kids, Joe? No, they are people too.
No, it's Father Joe. Father Joe. He's a hands-on pastor. He's a guitar priest and a whiskey priest. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back. I'm Howie Carr.